Seamus, The Case of the Oily Preacher Part 4, Bad Water, is based on the pulp fiction short story, Nick Carter Strikes Oil. Author unknown.
I let go of the cliff's edge, bracing for a hard impact, only to have my knees buckle when I landed on a wide ledge 4 feet below me. I let out a muffled groan when my kneecaps made solid contact with the rock ledge. Pebbles rained down on my head. They were at the edge now. I pressed my body against the jagged rocks as much as possible to stay hidden under the small ledge.
Think they're dead?
If they aren't, I bet they wish they were. Take a picture of the wreck. I don't want Bigelow or that cop trying to back out of paying us.
Wait a minute.
For what?
Isn't the car gonna explode or something?
This isn't TV.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have. Come on, hurry up.
Got it. Call it in.
Hey, it's me. We finished drilling that well. Everything is green. When can we pick up our paychecks? How late? You better not be screwing us. Fine. Meet us at the rig. With cash. The rig closes at 6 a.m. You better be there by then, or we'll drill another well.
What?
Said he had to get with his partner to get the money.
The dead one?
No, you idiot. The other guy, the cop. His connection. Anyway, he's going to meet us at the rig.
Damn. Now what?
Let's go wash my truck. I seem to have hit a deer.
Looks more like a couple of pigs to me.
I risk a peek over the ledge and only catch a glimpse of the white cowboy hats disappearing. I keep my head down a little longer, just in case. I can't see Pat from my vantage point. Slowly, I inch my way up to grab the ledge above me, partly to avoid falling and partly because the adrenaline was wearing off, and I felt like I had been run through a rock polisher with the rocks. I hold my breath for a moment. It's dead quiet, and I don't see Pat anywhere. A heartbeat later, a dirt-covered head popped up. Blood and grime smeared Pat's face, but she was alive. We both climb out of our hiding places, not as quickly as we would have 20 years ago, but we make it and meet at the top of the overlook. Pat stared down at a crumpled heap of twisted metal at the bottom of the ravine. She turned to look at me with big, sad eyes.
You look awful.
Thanks. I feel pretty. Oh, Hunter, my car.
I'm sorry, Pat. At least it didn't explode.
That would have made it worth it. Yeah. Anyway, what did you get?
Let's see. Bigelow, dirty cop, hit out on us, black truck with lots of chrome, and two guys in white cowboy hats.
White cowboy hats? After Labor Day? How tacky. I didn't get a good look either, but there was something familiar about those guys. I was too busy trying to figure out which one of my officers is on the take.
There was something familiar about them. I couldn't put my finger on it and didn't want to mess with Pat's train of thought.
Where do we go now?
Can't call the station. Better if they think the deal is done. Strikes Ranch is closer than the town. There's an ATV trail up there that'll work as a shortcut.
After you? Not to complain, but this is the worst tour I've ever been on. The guide is surly. The transportation was bumpy. People tried to kill us. 2 stars.
This is why nobody invites you to things. The slightest inconvenience, you just gripe, gripe, gripe.
Terrible tour. And if I survive it, this might be the best vacation I've been on in years.
Luckily, my phone survived the fall. I texted Wings with an update and to check out a place called The Rig. According to Pat, it was the kind of place that even her officers avoided.
We'd need a SWAT team from every town around and an ironclad warrant to go in there. I'm not proud of it, but I'm not stupid. We keep tabs on the place, and we know where these people are when we're looking for them.
Strike's place might have been closer, but it wasn't close. By the time we had made it to the ranch, the sun was starting to set. We finally rounded a bend in the trail and could see the house. The lights were on. Somebody was home. There was a stone ledge to my right. I put my hand on the bare rock to duck around it. Something moved above me. I jumped back, ready for a fight. There was a blinding flash on my left and the report of a rifle echoed in my ears. I felt the searing heat of a bullet graze my face. My blood curdled. Something hit me, knocking me to the ground. It was heavy, it was warm, and it was still breathing.
Pat! No!
Hunter!
Oh, geez, are you okay? I didn't see you until I fired.
I was pinned under a huge mountain lion. In its death rattle, its back claws twitched, creating a set of four fresh scratches down my belly.
Ugh.
I catch my breath and shove the beast off of me. Pat ran over to help.
Hunter, are you all right?
Define all right.
I can't take you anywhere.
Oh, geez, mister, I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Are you nuts?
That mountain lion has been terrorizing my livestock for weeks. Like I ain't got enough going on. As I said, I didn't see you until I fired.
I'm all right. Good shot, though.
Patsy and the man helped me up. I had a bullet graze high on my left cheekbone, and the fresh scratches from the wildcat were beginning to accompany the chorus of pain in an opera called The Hell of a Thousand Tiny Cuts. I'm getting too old for this. The man clicked on a bright lantern, temporarily blinding me.
You two look like that cat got a hold of you before I showed up. What are you doing out here?
We were looking for Alan Strike, but we, had a little car accident.
You found him. Now why are you two slinking around my ranch?
Mr. Strike, I'm Captain Danube from the police department and...
You got an ID?
Patsy pulled out her badge for Strike. The light caught his stern face while he examined it. He had the leathery complexion of a man that has spent a lifetime outside in every weather. When he was satisfied, Strike's face relaxed and now he just looked like a man who was worn out.
This is Hunter James. He's a special investigator. We want to talk to you about Reverend Lowe.
It's about time. Have you arrested that two-timing con man yet? I'll testify. Ask me anything.
Mr. Strike, Reverend Lowe is dead.
What? When?
Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, wow. I saw him on Tuesday. How'd he die?
That's what we'd like to talk to you about.
You aren't here about the scam he's running?
We're investigating his death, actually.
You don't think I had anything to do with that, do you?
That's why we'd like to talk to you. You may have important information.
Yeah, sure. Come on up to the house.
We followed Strike and his little lantern towards a modest farmhouse and crossed a shallow brook.
Must be handy to have fresh water running on your property.
It used to be. At some point, the water developed an odd taste, according to my grandfather. Cattle won't touch it. He had to dig a well higher up and pump it down.
The aging farmhouse was well kept but looked like something out of an old western. A long porch ran the length of the front, full of potted plants and kids' toys.
Wait here so I can talk to my wife.
Why is that, Mr. Strike?
Oh, I don't know. I figured it was courtesy to let my wife know that I'm about to drag two filthy, blood-smeared cops into our nice clean house who may or may not arrest me for shooting one of them.
Mr. Strike, we know that was an accident, and we're not here for...
I put my hand on Pat's shoulder to stop her mid-sentence. She frowned at me for interrupting.
Let the man talk to his wife.
Of course, sir. Go ahead. We're not exactly supposed to let a murder suspect chat with his spouse out of sight. You know.
I turned to see the sun dip behind the mountains. The sky was clear, the mountain air, and the porch of plants and toys. It wasn't Pensacola, but it was a piece of paradise.
I don't think it's a flight risk. At least this tour comes with a nice view.
Taking in a deep breath, I let the serenity of it all settle over me. An orchestra of crickets stirred nearby to serenade us. Since Abby died, this feeling of being at peace didn't come that often. I let it wash over me. Creeping dread began to replace it when I heard Strike walking back to the door. How can I hold on to that peace knowing that I was about to walk into a man's home and shatter his?
Thank you for listening to Seamus. If you like this episode of Seamus, please leave a review and tell your friends. Seamus, The Case of the Oily Preacher Part 4, Bad Water, is based on the pulp fiction short story, Nick Carter Strikes Oil. Author unknown. Hunter James was played by Patrick Broncotto. Patsy Danube was played by Marsha Hinton. Billy Cowan was played by Matthew Greff. Glenn Stott was played by Tom Hinton. Alan Strike was played by Thomas Thompson. This episode of Seamus was written by Raven Wisdom and directed by Gene Phillips. Sound design for Seamus was provided by OpenMicRecordingStudio.com. Seamus is a New Meadows Media production. All rights reserved.